I literally would wake up one eye open and then need the cigarette. I was so addicted.
Sue was diagnosed with throat cancer, aged 48.
To tell your family you've got cancer through smoking was hot.
Up to 2 in 3 smokers die from smoking.
Smoking tried to take my life, but now I've got my life back. You've got to keep trying to quit. It's worth it.
For help to quit, download the free NHS Quit Smoking app today.
Could all passengers for Auckland please make their way to Gate A17?
Come on, that's us.
At Nutmeg, we don't know where your once-in-a-lifetime trip will take you, but we do know how to invest for it. So wherever you dream of going, choose from a range of investment styles to suit you and your goals. Nutmeg, a JP Morgan company. Just search Nutmeg ISA to learn more. Capital at risk.
Afternoon, Tim Smile, and I like it. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's another week. We have an exciting episode, so I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Tim's happy because I was saying the Chicklets is late to the party. They're interviewing Matthew Olivier. People on our Patreon alerted us, and it's like, yeah, been there, done that, fellas. We were early on the Olivier train. I was the conductor of that train months ago. So it's just funny they're finally catching up to the hockey news. But I'm doing good. House is getting built. Boiler is working fantastic. The chickens are laying eggs. We keep getting snow. It's just an unrelenting wet snow now that's just unbearable. We get about 2 inches every second day, and it's this wet, disgusting snow, Tim. It's just awful. But life is good. I can't complain. I'm going to Chicago this weekend. I'm going to do a talk. It's nice. We just booked some Bleacher Report events. We got Farmer's Dog sponsorships coming up this week. We could book them again for another couple months. So, you know, starting to turn around a little bit, gaining some momentum. It's nice.
Things are good. And it's a fun episode we have today. So, you know, again, it's one of those times there's not a ton of news. Things change quickly. So we kind of went outside the box a little bit, and we're going to talk about players who have been a little bit under the radar. And there's kind of two major categories they fit in. The first are guys that we all know are good. It's not like it's a surprise that they're having a good season, but they're still better than maybe they're getting credit for, or at least attention, whether in national media or even on the show. The second category are guys that are totally under the radar, especially outside of their market. If you're a fan of these teams, you know they're having a good season, but outside of that, they're basically not being brought up whatsoever. So we have a list here, and John and I will kind of bounce off each other and rattle down the list.
Yeah, Tim took care of the West. I took care of the East. That's why the West will probably be better, more well-researched. I'm more of a passion guy. Tim's more of a analytical. Let's get down to work. My passions drive. It's just who I am. I'm a red-blooded American. What can I say? Tim's more of a melancholy type guy. Wouldn't you say so, Tim?
Melancholy? I don't know where that came from, but no, I would
not. It's the opposite of passionate, so I was trying to find the opposite there.
Passion? No, it's not the opposite of passionate.
Opposite of passion? Like in personality.
Melancholy, but passion doesn't mean positive. Passion doesn't mean positive. It can mean
melancholy doesn't mean negative.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
What does it mean to you?
It means just really mellow and just kind of a calm demeanor and not quick to judgment or quick to action. You're just melancholy.
No, melancholy means sad. That's okay. It's a tough word.
But when you're describing melancholy of a purse, I guess, whatever. We'll take this off air. My first player is an unknown to most people, but if you're in the Ottawa market, you know how important he is to this team. Is Nick Jensen. An unknown player drafted by the Detroit Red Wings. Gosh, he'd look good in a Red Wing uniform right now. He's exactly what they need. Type of player who just kind of does everything. Make a nice breakout pass and put him alongside Mo Sider. That's a whole other episode about why Steve Yzerman is awful. Anyways, Nick Jensen, he was the defenseman that the Senators acquired when they got rid of Jacob Chychrun in the offseason over after that failed experiment, bringing him in, trying to revamp this team and make a push for the playoffs. So he was a part of that trade coming back from Washington, him and a third rounder. Ever since he's arrived in Ottawa, he's played great to him. He's 34 years old. He's kind of been everywhere, done everything. He's not a very exciting defenseman. He just is a steady as she goes. Like I said, makes a good first pass, plays a solid defensive game. And I think his success trajectory is tied to his partner. Everywhere he goes, he makes his partner better. Whether it's in Washington playing alongside a Van Riemsdyk or a Carlson, or it's in Detroit playing alongside whoever he played alongside there. And ever since he arrived in Ottawa, he's been paired up with Thomas Chabot. Chabot has been playing some of his best hockey with Jensen next to him. They've been 1-2. It's been a very nice D pairing. And then that sets up Sanderson and Zub for the 2-3, or 3-4, I should say. And that gives them a solid top four D core. And he's been out, this Jensen, the last, I think, 3-4 games. It's been noticeable. Ottawa's been very, very porous in their back end. So he is a huge cog on this team. And it just to give you an idea of how important he is, Tim, he's plus 17. And I know we don't put too much weight in plus minus, just because empty net goals and circumstances and, you know, where you're starting, there's different factors that you can take into account for the plus minus stat. So it's taken with a grain of salt. But when a player on your team is a plus 17 and a couple other defensemen on that team are minus 16 and minus 15, you can get something from it. That's a big disparity. That's 33 goals, 32 goals. So he's a good hockey player. He definitely affects this team, and he's not sexy. He's not, you know, you're going to go coast to coast. He averages 3 to 4 goals a game, or a season, I should say. But he's a great player. He's a type of guy, Tim, you need to win the Stanley Cup. When you look back at recent Cup champs, the Panthers going into the playoffs, no one really knew about Gustav Forsling. Outside of Florida, no one really knew about Nico Mikula. The year before, Braden McNabb, Zach Whitecloud. The year before that, Devin Taves. They're obviously household names now. But before the big playoff runs and the Stanley Cup championships, nobody knew who these guys were. And so you need these guys, the Nick Jensens of the world, to be the glue of your team. Yeah, it's fun to watch Shabbat Shalom and Jake Sanderson rip all around the ice, but you need that safety blanket. And that's what Nick Jensen is. He's 34 years old, so he's not some young pup. And he's fit in just nicely with the Ottawa Senators. People thought they got fleeced in the Chychrun trade. No. They did pretty good. I know Chychrun just signed a big ticket with Washington. He's fit in nicely, and he's a better defenseman overall. But he carries a big salary with it. Nick Jensen makes a pretty reasonable amount, and he's good. And he doesn't create problems, and he doesn't demand anything. He's just a nice, quiet defenseman who you can play in your first pair. Like, he'll play 22 minutes and nobody knows about him. And if they make a deep playoff run, which they might, they've been playing great hockey, he will be a huge part of it, especially matching up versus the Leafs. That's where he'll make his bread and butter. If he can shut down that first line or just go 50-50 with them, it's a big win for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, and I feel like you picture, like, I mean, he's not totally a shutdown defenseman, but you picture that defensive defenseman that kind of does everything well, doesn't do anything exceptional, and is very reliable in the back end. You tend to think of bigger guys that have a long stick that can use their body, and he's not that. I just pulled him up. He's 6 foot, 196. Like, he's, yeah. So he's working hard to log these minutes and do what he does. He doesn't have the ability to just, like a Zadorov, just do these things because of his size. So, it's a great pick there.
Good skater coming out of college. So, you know, he's fundamentally sound. Most times guys come out of college, they know how to play the game. They've spent time working on just the little things, the fundamentals, your foot, your hand placement, your body placement. He played, I think, at Minnesota Duluth or St. Cloud for 3 years. So he knows how to play the game, especially, like you said, for a guy his size to play defense. You have to have good body positioning. So he's a good – I mentioned him years ago when he was with Detroit. I thought they made a mistake getting rid of him. I think I said that 3, 4, 5 years ago. He's a great defenseman. So Ottawa's got a good one there. What are we doing next?
My first one here, and this is the biggest name on the list, at least on my list, is Clayton Keller of the Utah Hockey Club. This is the guy, everyone knows who he is. I think everyone probably has a sense of how good he is, and yet he's still better than we give him credit for, and he deserves more attention. I think he's perennially underrated. And he's one of those guys too. He's been there for so long. He was drafted there. He's been there since he was a rookie. And you've never seen his name in the paper or whatever for a bad reason. He's never complained. He never speaks out. He's never requested a trade, even after all these losing seasons. Kind of similar to Dylan Larkin. I've always kind of likened those two in my mind. As of right now, and I think he is a perfect example of an American player in a small market that's just not getting the attention. I think he's probably the poster child of that. Or one
Why
of them.
Why do you have to bring up American?
Yeah, because if he was a Canadian player, he's just getting more attention. That's just
you think so?
How it is.
Canadians get more attention?
Well, the Canadian hockey media market is much bigger than the American one, so I would say yeah.
But if he was playing in Canada, do you mean? Or do you mean, like, just say Clayton Keller is Canadian, he gets more press?
Probably more than he does, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah. So right now he's 12th in the NHL in scoring. He's tied with Sidney Crosby. I think 58 points is the number, which is more than guys than Panarin and Reinhardt and Nylander and Scheifele and Jack Hughes and all these others. Like he's having a great, great season that has solidified himself among the top players in the NHL. And don't forget that he was left off Team USA in the Four Nations tournament. This is one of the biggest omissions. And I think he was probably my biggest one. I liked him more than Tage and John Carlson, some of the other big names who were left off. I think he was the big one for me. 78 points in 70 games played. So he could hit 90 if he continues this production through the rest, the final 9, 12 games, whatever it is, which would be a first for him. He had 86 2 years ago and dipped down a little bit last year. So he could have a career season, and he's having a great start so far. And then you look at that team, you think of like the other young kids that they drafted, they brought up through the organization. And we're not even talking about like the Dones of the world and some of the other kids, but Dylan Gunther is having a great season. He has 50 points. Logan Cooley has 54 points.
Yeah.
And then the free agent signings they made in the back end, including Sergachev. Like this is the team you're starting to see like the contention taking place. You're starting to see what's going to make them a contender. And if these guys, including Clayton Keller, continue to develop and produce, they're going to be a playoff team, you know, as soon as next year. And he's going to be the one leading the charge. So I think he's been underrated.
Didn't they draft Tigger Ginla?
Yeah, yeah, Deej, yep. He's still down. He's not even in the
age. He's a baby. But yeah, they do have some pieces. I don't mind this Utah Hockey Club. I think they took a step backward this year, though, unfortunately. Coming into this season from Arizona, there was high expectations for them. And the main reason why is that dirtbag Liam O'Brien. he is a cancer on any team. He's even a cancer on the NHL. He's played 27 games and has 2 assists. So, and he gets 10 minutes a night. I'm not saying I had those point totals, but when you're a fighter, you have to be intimidating and impose your will. The guy sucks at fighting. I will continue my crusade against Liam O'Brien until the day I die. That will be carved on my gravestone. John Scott, devoted husband, father, family man, God-fearing man, perfect hatred towards Liam O'Brien. Period. Exclamation point. Like, that will be it.
Someone's going to make the meme in the Slack for sure.
It'll That's be fantastic. Coming. All right, moving on. Now, my player, this is where I went sideways on Tim. Tim picked kind of unknown players for the most, not unknown, but I guess undervalued. I picked guys who maybe deserve more credit than they're due. So I have guys who are stars on their team, but nationwide, nobody really knows who they are. And this is a perfect example of my next player. Jesper Bratt, the New Jersey Devil, best player, Tim. I'm going to emphasize this. He is their best player. But if you're the common fan, or maybe, you know, a hockey aficionado, when you think of the New Jersey Devils, you think of Jack Hughes. You think of Dougie Hamilton. You think of Nico Hirschak. You think of Luke Hughes, Jacob Markstrom, Timo Meier, Andre Palat. It takes about 5 to 6 players before you get to Jesper Bratt. But don't look now. This guy has led the team in scoring 3 of the last 4 years. This guy had just broke this week the franchise record for assists in a season. He's got 61 this year. Previous mark held by Scott Stevens, oddly enough. But he is the backbone of this team. And people thought, oh, he's just riding the coattails of Jack Hughes. You know, he's a little fish eating the leftovers of Jack Hughes' greatness. No. He's second star of the week this week. Jack Hughes is gone. The Devils are still firmly in a playoff spot. Jack Hughes hasn't played in a month. I know they've struggled a little bit, which is expected when you lose a player of Jack Hughes' caliber. But I think it's time to start talking about maybe Jesper Bratt is the reason Jack Hughes is good. Maybe the Devils need to lean on this guy a little more. He's a fantastic player. They just rewarded him a couple years ago. They signed him to a big ticket, 8 years, you know, $8 million a year. I can't remember what he got. But this guy is the real deal. He's 10th in the league in points. He's up there in the upper echelon of players. Like, we're talking the Marners and the McDavids and the McKinnons of the world. And it's Jesper Bratt. You don't even know how to spell his name, Tim. And this guy is a superstar in this league. He gets no respect at all. He's a sixth-round pick, for Pete's sake. So this guy, and I've said this guy a lot, should be getting more attention in the NHL. But because he plays in New Jersey, because he's not Canadian, as Tim says, he's a Swedish kid, he's not getting the press. And it's enough is enough. We need to give him his due. He's a fantastic hockey player. How dare you?
No argument for me. That's a great pick. And I do like the whole dynamic, and it's a thing that comes up all the time of, like, you think that he's, like you said, riding on the coattails of somebody else, like a good player, not a great one. He's putting up even more points by himself. He's driving a line. He's driving offense. He's creating it himself and setting up other players rather than the other way around. So good for him. I'll give him a little bit more credit than you are giving him in how quickly he would come up in a list of players. I don't think he's fifth or sixth. I think he's probably third or fourth. If you're naming off the Devils, maybe second, but certainly not first.
He's fourth or fifth. Let's just not.
I don't think so, John. I don't.
You do Jack Hughes. Yeah. You do Dougie Hamilton. Then I think you go to their captain. So is Jack.
I mean,
start of the season when the Devils are doing all their interviews for their ads and stuff. If they're going down the list, okay, we got to get interviews, we got to get pictures, we got to get promos. It's Jack, it's Dougie, it's Nico, it's Luke, and it's Markstrom.
That's a different question, though. That's different from media attention right now.
It's all tied together. It's all
okay.
You're so melancholy about this.
You're so passionate about it. You're going to love my next one, John. This is Gabe Vilardi of the Winnipeg Jets.
Can we just get a shirt of all the times I was right? Or just a list? The shirt, we might not have enough room on the shirt. This is another instance.
So obviously he was one of those pieces that came over from the LA Kings as part of the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. We've talked a lot about him this year. He's been playing on the first line in the best team in the NHL the entire season. But that's with Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele. The breakout season for him. He has 61 points on the year. His career high before this was 41. He cleared it by 20 points. And he's doing it on the best team in hockey. And you know that if you're building a balanced line, even the best lines in hockey, you're still looking for that balance. It's not Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele that they're asking to be physical or rush back on the back check. I'm sure they do it, but it's going to be someone like Vilardi carrying that lunchbox on that line a little bit. So he's doing it well. The timing of this is tough, though. He was hurt over the weekend on Sunday afternoon. Puck to like the side of the head. You think maybe it's the ear. He got his bell rung or something. But he came out of the game after playing about 16 minutes. He's out long term, week to week anyway. Even the head coach, Scott Arneil, said it's not the ear. So it's something else. We don't know what it is, whether it's concussion or something. But he's going to miss some time, unfortunately. Hopefully he's back for the playoffs. But it sucks because he had such a great season. He's been such a huge part of their success. So hopefully we'll see him before the season ends, if not for the playoffs. But yeah, Gabe Vilardi deserves a lot of credit.
Oh, he'll be back. They still have a month and a half left in this season. This could potentially be a blessing for this team. Give him a little rest. He'll be motivated for the playoffs. But yeah, we saw this a mile away when the LA Kings traded for Pierre-Luc Dubois. Just a player who has a history a mile long of bad interactions with coaches and players. Just a bad teammate, supposedly. And then you get this player who's just an up-and-coming prospect. He's playing great, Tim. I'm glad you brought him up. Because when you look, and that's the big thing with a lot of these picks, is you look at these teams, especially the front runners, and you're distracted by the big contracts, the veterans, the goaltenders, the star defensemen. But when you start to dig into the team, it's like, man, who's stirring the drink on this team? And it's a Gabe Vilardi. it's a yes for Brad. It's the guys who you don't really see or you don't really notice, but then you look at the stat sheet or you take the eye test and you watch a game and you go, damn, these guys are good. Yes, Scheifele's fantastic and Kyle Connor gets the power play time and they get lots of goals and they get the accolades, which is deserving. But you tend to overlook these other players who are a huge part of this team. And if they win a Stanley Cup, there's a good chance they'll be the best players on this team. So good pick. Very, very good pick. I'm going to piggyback off of you. I'm going to go with a team who is the top team in the NHL, the Washington Capitals. Now, again, like I just stated, when you think of the Washington Capitals, Tim, it's Ovechkin. It's, when is he going to get the goal scoring record? Blah, blah, blah. That's all everyone talks about. Oh, they bring in Pierre-Luc Dubois. Oh, you bring in Matt Roy. You bring in Jacob Chychrun. The defense is revamped. The goaltending's playing terrific. Logan Thompson is fantastic. Charlie Lindgren is right there. Everything is good in the world. When you dig into the numbers and you look behind the curtain, as I like to do, you find out that this team has a player that I think is underutilized. And he is one of the biggest humans on earth. 6'6", some would say 250 pounds. Alexei Protas. I don't know how to say his first name. It's Belgian. It's spelled. There's so many vowels. A-L-I-A-K-S-E-I. Make that make sense for me. I don't butcher names on purpose, but I'm not even going to try that. Protas is, he's a moose of a man. And he's finally figuring out how to use his size in today's NHL game. And it takes a while, Tim, for these big guys. It took me a while. It took me a solid 8 seasons to how to utilize my body the right way. In my last season, I had a career year, scored 3 goals. All that aside, this guy is just taken off this season. He's got 63 points, 29 goals, 34 assists, plus 42 in the whole league, Tim. First place, plus 42 in the league. The next highest is Braden McNabb. I think he's at plus 34, 35. So he's well ahead of the next closest guy. That's incredible. And the point that stuck out to me with this guy, and it doesn't get talked about him a lot, because you look at the guys at the top of the league for points. It's always the same cast of characters. Rightfully so. They're terrific superstars in this league. The one thing they have in common is when you look at their time on ice, it's usually 20 minutes. Well, when you look at how it's sectioned off, it's usually 5 minutes on the power play per game, 4 minutes on the power play per game. Alexei Protas does not play in the power play. You know how many power play points he has out of a 63? One.
That's one crazy. Assist.
62 points he has not on the power play. He's got a couple shorties, but the guy doesn't play in the power play. And he's leading the league, almost leading the league in points. He's top whatever. He's not almost, maybe not almost leading the league. 5-on-5 points, he's almost leading the league. He's up there with the lights of Dreisaitl. He's up there with Pasternak. These are the guys he's with, the Nylanders of the world. And he makes $3 million a year. And he doesn't get the ice time that those guys get. He plays Pierre-Luc Dubois and McMichael, one of the best lines in hockey, one of the most efficient lines in hockey. It's fantastic. So everyone's focused on those high-end guys and the revamped defense. This moose, Tim, might be the main reason why the Washington Capitals have played so great this year. He's a man-child. It's fun to watch this guy. And they just signed him. Talk about good contracts and playing above your weight. 5 years, 3.3. This guy just signed for last year. That's steal. They got him for 4 more years at 3.3. It's crazy.
I'm so glad he was on your list. And if you play like fantasy hockey, for example, he's what's called a league winner. He's like on no one's radar. To the value that he's bringing every single night's incredible. And I actually, he's been on my list to like talk about on the show the last couple of weeks. We just haven't had room on the agenda or whatever. So I'm glad we're talking about him now. And he's one of those guys too, that he gets brought up a lot on hockey Twitter. But the only things that really people say about him is like, why aren't we talking about him more? You know what I mean? Like, he's not treated for some reason, like for how good he is and what his production is. But he deserves it. So yeah, incredible. And I think if you are a Caps fan, you've been watching him all season, you know how good he is, how important he's been, and what a season they've had. We'll have to break this down. I think next week, John, or even next episode, I think the Caps and the Avs are two teams that deserve to break down how they've done what they've done, because it's incredible. And Protas is a huge part of that. And a big boy. He puts up points and he's a big, big boy. So good for him and good for you for picking him.
I'm starting to drink that Kool-Aid. Starting to drink that Kool-Aid. This team has the size. They have the experience. They have the back end. They have the strength down the middle. I like, even though I don't like Lars Eller, he's a serviceable, pretty good third line center. Dylan Strome, I'm sold on him being a 1C. He's great. The last few years, he's really solidified his role. I played with him in Arizona. He's a great kid. Never really lived up to his potential. I think he was a fifth overall pick. He's doing it now. He's fantastic. And then you got PLD, second line center with Connor McMichael and the aforementioned Protas. So this team, Tim, I don't know. I got to see him in the playoffs, but I'm starting to, the gauge is starting to shift a little bit to a believer.
So my next one here is I wanted to pick at least one defenseman. And I had a couple of names, but we've talked about some of them. Brandon Montour is having another season that's really good. Jake Wallman is another name that's came up a couple of times. But I'm going to talk about a player. And John, I want you to be honest. Before you read the agenda, have you ever heard of this guy?
I will be completely frank. I have heard of the name, but that's about as far as it goes.
I'm talking about Jackson Lacombe out of Anaheim. It's like, who, right? So he's a defenseman. He was a second round pick high, like 39th overall, something like that in 2019. He's one of those kids, like the pedigree is there. He went to Shattuck St. Mary's. He's from Minnesota. He went to the University of Minnesota, played 3 or 4 years there. And it's a great example of taking your time to really develop a young talent, especially the defensemen that need a little bit more time. It's his second NHL season. So he played two seasons ago. And then he played basically a full season, you know, in and out of the lineup last year. And he's basically a permanent fixture now, 24 years old. So 5-6 years later, that's how long it took for him to really make his mark. And now he's doing it. He's 37 points in 63 games this year, which is a 48 point pace, which is really good considering A, that he's a defenseman, B, that he's 24 years old, and C, that he's on a terrible team. And one of the big parts about that is that he has 12 goals. So it's not just like assists and secondary assists, double digit goals. That's tied for 11th among defensemen in the entire league. And the other guy that he's tied with is Victor Hedman. So like that's the category that he's in. And he's doing it on a bad team, averaging 22 minutes a night and on a team that's bottom five in goals for. And he's +3 on a team that is -33 in goal differential. So he's just doing a lot of these things. And I think if he was on, you know, Minnesota or Washington or Winnipeg or one of these teams that's doing well, you'd have much better numbers. So again, I think it's another example of a small market guy that we'd be talking about more and we'd be more aware of. And I bet a lot of the listeners outside of Anaheim and or that conference division didn't really know who he was, but he deserves for us to know who he is. So hopefully he'll continue this growth, finish the year strong, be back next year and solidify himself as one of the better young defensemen in the league.
Yeah, it's neat. It's kind of a double, not a double-edged sword, but a double bonus when you're a young defenseman and you get to play on a team that's just garbage. You get that opportunity. He's been given the opportunity to play the power play, play big minutes, get those, you know, that experience. He gets to play alongside the Troy Terry and Zegras and Leo Carlson, all these young guys, and grow with them potentially. And then a bonus. Everybody laughed. Oh, Jacob Trouba, Radko Gudas. Imagine having that safety blanket if you're him. Oh, I get to play a game with Radko Gudas. I know the guy's not going to cross the red line. You know what I mean? Like, I know I can do whatever I want. So he's going to be there to have my back, that bulldog. So he has, for as bad as the Ducks are, it's a nice environment for a young defenseman or a young forward to grow a little bit. They have zero expectation at all. They're a bad team. No one expects them to win. So you're a 24-year-old kid. You're given this chance. He's running with me. He's playing fantastic hockey. And I didn't really know much about him. And I don't think anybody did. But he's from the Minnesota area. He's, you know, got the pedigree. That's a hotbed where he went to school. So I don't know. We'll see where it pairs out. But the Anaheim Ducks always seem to have these good young defensemen, and they just let him go. So we'll see if they can hold on to this guy. Was Drysdale there too?
No, I don't think he's there anymore.
They just said, no, was he there though?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they were allowed.
Jacob Chychrun. No, I'm just saying they have these good defensemen and they just let them walk or they trade them. Yeah. So hopefully they can hold on to him. He'd be good for this team. But yeah, good pick, Tim. I like that.
What's up, guys? Tim here. Listen, if you've been listening to the show for a while, then you know that I have an adopted rescue dog named Levi. He was around 6 when I got him. He's 8 now, and he's the sweetest and most loving companion you could ever hope to know. Dog owners know what I'm talking about. You want the best for your pets to help them live as happily and healthily as possible. That's why we partnered with The Farmer's Dog. The Farmer's Dog makes feeding real healthy dog food easy and convenient, and your dog will absolutely love it. Levi is obsessed, and he's been licking his bowl clean every day. The Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food right to your door. It's developed by vets, nutritionally balanced, and made from real meat and veggies to the same safety standards of human food. A healthy diet isn't just important for people. It has all kinds of benefits for dogs, too. From healthier coat and skin, to better breath, even easier digestion. Levi's energy has been so much better since making the switch, and he looks forward to mealtime in a way that he never has before. The package came in and everything was personalized with Levi's name. I mean it when I say these guys love pets the same way that you do. And now you can join the movement and get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/gloves. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/gloves to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/gloves.
All right, moving on. Tim's going to like this one because the Bruins have been having a bad year. They've been down on their luck. They've been just kind of fluttering. The one guy who is a constant, and this is credit to him, it's David Pastrnak. You can set your watch by this guy. And is he a superstar? Absolutely. Does he get all the international awards and he's on his country's team? He goes to the Olympics. He's an all-star. He gets all that. I think he deserves more. What he's done with this Bruins team, I'm going to say the last 4 years, the line mates that he had, even though they won the President's Trophy and they set the record, they had a very charmed season. And you were seeing the worst of Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, Brad Marchand, his play was on the decline. Pasta was really the main option up front. And he hasn't had good line mates in a long time. He's been playing with Zakas and DeBrusque and a subprime Marchands for years now, Tim. His point total hasn't dipped at all. When he goes into a city or he's playing somebody else, obviously they do every game, other teams game plan for him. It's stop Pasta and you win the game. And the guy still puts up 100, 115, 110 points every single year. He's got 84 this year, 10 more games to go. You'll probably hit 100 points on a garbage Boston team, Tim. An absolute atrocious Boston team. He's playing with a guy now who was a healthy scratch in Minnesota earlier this season. That's how much he's fallen. I can't even pronounce the kid's name. Murat Kuznetsov? Who's Nutdanov?
Yeah.
That sounds like a dirty joke. Who's Nutdanov? And it's Pasta. He just continues to produce. He's got 34 goals, 50 assists. He's the first, second, third option on this team. He must just be so frustrated that this is where he's at. And he's in his prime, and he has no one to play with. He has no one to give him the puck. It's just him and him alone. Maybe Charlie McAvoy. So he is, without a doubt, out of all the superstars in this league, he is the most underrated because he has nothing to work with, Tim. Not a thing. Every other superstar in this league has a Robin to their Batman, for the most part. Or they have a lot of help to get them to where they are. This guy's nobody. Nobody. Especially now with Brad Marchand gone. He's nobody. He's playing with Casey Mittelstead. Casey Mittelstead was playing third line center with the Colorado Avalanche. Third line center. And now he's playing first line minutes with David Pastrnak. And he's playing with a guy who's a healthy scratch in Minnesota. Really?
The Bruins lineup.
He's still putting up points, Tim. Still putting up points. So you got to give it to him. He's so underrated, even though he's a superstar in this league.
Yeah, the Bruins lineup is just, it's brutal. It is really brutal. And they're kind of wavering into that territory where not all of them, I'm convinced, are even NHL players. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Well, they're there. They're there.
Yeah. I don't know if Pastrnak enough underrated. You know, I think people know how good he is, but I think the point is there. He's he's outproduced every expectation you've had on him this season. So
I don't like to bag on people who have been on the show, but that clown move that Jeremy Swayman made against the LA Kings this week, where he's like posturing, calling Darcy Kuemper down, let's go, let's go. Even though there's a ref right in front of his face. If you want to fight, you find a way to fight. You don't stand at the red line and just go, come on, come on down, fight. You come to me, you come to me. You drop your mitts and you go to him. Once Kuemper starts punching that guy who was in his crease, rightfully so, he should have. The guy shouldn't have been in his crease. You get on your horse and you get down there and fight. If that's what you really want to do. You don't make a big show of it and then just grandstand, oh, I really want to go, I really want to go, and start taking off your glove when the ref's grabbing you by the jersey. Like, oh, we get it, man. You're the best. And Nikita Zadorov, you could tell he wasn't buying it either. In the post-game interview, guy asked, did you just love what Jeremy Swayman did there? Do you just love it? And Nikita's like, what did he do? What did he do? He didn't do anything. I'm slowly starting to just come to my senses that this guy's just in it for himself. He's all about himself. He loves him some him. And I might be wrong, but he held out. He was worried about him setting the market. You know, he had a great playoffs. He's gonna do it. Not a big team guy. That's the sense I'm getting out of him. And he's had a garbage season. He hasn't really held himself accountable and said, I need to be better, this and that. I don't know. You cover the Bruins more than I do, Tim, but ew, this is not a good first full time as a starter signing a big ticket. He's played garbage.
Yeah, I don't think he's really been worth half of what his contract is. And I know he's got a bad team playing in front of him, but you were just like, you're letting him beach balls. And there's a lot of stats of like allowing the first goal of the game, allowing two goals in quick succession, that sort of thing. And then even Zadorov, you can make the case that he doesn't like Swayman, right? And that's kind of him saying that. He's like, is that what that was? No comment. But even maybe that's reading too much into it, but at least I do feel confident saying he's basically saying about Swayman, hey, man, just play goalie. That's what we need. We need someone to stop pucks. Like, no one wants you to fight. No one needs this. We just need you to make a couple of saves. That's all, buddy. So that I think that's at a bare minimum what he was saying.
We need to go back at the start of this year, how excited you were for this goaltending duo.
Everybody.
Me?
No, all Bruins fans. He's the guy.
Tim even said, hey, Korpisalo's good. Like, he's get him playing behind the Bruins. He's going to have a bounce back year. Like, he's going to be great. He's got a sub 900 save percentage. At least his goals average is below three. I can't say the same for Swayman. He's above threes, sub 9 save percentage. Both of these guys are bad. They're bad.
Okay, next on my list, we have a winger for the St. Louis Blues. He was named the third star of the week last week. That's Dylan Holloway. Right now, I think he's less under the radar than he was a couple of days ago, but let's talk about how good he's been this season. Because obviously the Oilers, he's drafted there. The St. Louis offered him and Broberg a contract. They didn't match. We all know the story. But I think it's worth talking about like how good his season's really been. He can play the center or the wing. Right now, he's slotted in the second line left wing, playing with Braden Schenn and Jordan Kyrou, which has been the best line in hockey since the Four Nations tournament. They've been unbelievable. And Kyrou has been putting up crazy points, but DeHolloway is right there with him. Right now, he's in the middle of a 7-game point streak, and he has 11 points over that stretch. And it's not like he's just, you know, one assist a night. Like, he's got 3 goals. He had a night the other night where he had 3 assists. Like, he's doing it. He's up to 23 goals in the year, 58 points. And I don't think I realized this. Maybe I didn't pay close enough attention to him in Edmonton. He's 23 years old. He turned 23 in September. So like he's halfway through his 23rd year. It's crazy how good he's been. I don't know. Everyone's talking about just how could you have let him go? He's locked up. He's going to be so good. Edmonton, you botched this one. Dylan Holloway has had a great season. He's one of those guys that I think similar to what Washington has done. If the Blues that maybe should have and could have entered a rebuild season, they're going to extend their window and just basically push off the rebuild completely with players like Dylan Holloway. He's that good. So I think it's a great move for him and a great season.
Yeah, Doug Armstrong took a lot of heat when he signed him to offer sheet along with Philip Roberg. Everyone's like, we're giving up too much because you got to give compensation. I don't know. He signs him to maybe an overvalued contract at the start of the season. Dylan Holloway signs him to a 2.29. I think all he wanted from Edmonton was, I think, 1.5, maybe one. But he signs him to $2.29 million. His highest point total in the NHL before this year was 9. 6 goals, 3 assists. He had a pretty good playoffs. So that's what Doug Armstrong was going off of. He's had a great year. Almost a point per game guy. And he all of a sudden just revamps his St. Louis team, which last year you go, oh, they're old. What are we going to do with them? I don't like their goaltending. Their defense is slow. Yeah, they're still not there. But when you add him and you have Philip Roberg, and you just look at the actual roster of St. Louis, you think of guys like Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas as older players. Kyrou's 26. Thomas is 25. Buchnevich is 29. They still have a lot of tread on the tires. So this team still has some potential. They just need some help. Dylan Holloway, Philip Roberg, great move. Because they would look nice wearing Oilers colors right now. They would look very, very sharp. Maybe you don't sign a Jeff Skinner. Maybe you don't sign an Arvidsson. Maybe you invest in the team that's already there and give them $2, $3 million for 5 years. Because Holloway would have signed that deal. 5 years, $3 million bucks. Yeah, he signed that deal. No, you know, you got to show us more. Boom. Offer sheet. See you later. Take care. Comb your hair. Ooh, Stan Bowman. Not a good first salvo when you're trying to put a team together. Philip Roberg, he was, you know, a little bigger of a ticket, 4.5, but with the salary cap rising, it's a pretty good contract. They're still RFAs. You got them on team control. So good on Doug Armstrong, good on the St. Louis Blues, and good on you, Tim. It's a great pick. You're really bringing it this episode.
Thank you. This is a fun one. I got one more.
Okay,
This is a goalie, and this is another guy that everyone knows he's good, but I still think he's having an underrated season and deserves to be talked about in the top echelon of NHL goaltenders, and that's Darcy Kemper. Obviously, and this is, maybe I didn't think I realized this until this morning, Hellebuck leads the NHL in basically every category.
Everything, yeah.
Wins, goals against, save percentage, shutout. Like, you never see that. Even, you know, the best years of, like, Lundqvist, to Fleury, all those guys, like, not every category, you know, but it's crazy. And if I asked you or anyone else the top 5 goalies in the NHL right now, you're getting Hellebuck. You're going to throw in names Vasilevsky, like Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, Ottinger. Yeah, Bobrovsky, Logan Thompson, all those names. I think Kemper deserves to be in that conversation. He's second in goals against with 2.13. That's second only to Hellebuck. He's third in save percentage with 918, second only to Hellebuck and Vasilevsky in the entire NHL. And get this, his record is silly. He's 24-9-7. That's crazy. With 4 shutouts, which is like tied for third. So like it's crazy. The only knock on him that I think brings him down a couple of pegs is that he's played fewer games than most of those top guys.
Yeah.
He's got like 43, and a lot of them are, you know, 50 already, 60 in some cases. But I think it's because, I mean, obviously LA has a David Riddick and they like playing the tandem. They like, you know, not relying too much on back to backs and just riding the hot hand. So it makes them a better team, but I think I can understand that's why you might put them, you know, below some of those other guys. But we're still talking about a guy that's going to be pushing 50 starts this year, 30 wins, and just excellent peripherals. So I think obviously the Vezina Trophy was locked up back in like November, but I think he should be a finalist. I think he should be in the conversation. I think he's had an excellent year and it's definitely under the radar.
Yeah, this is needed for the LA Kings, who don't score many goals. They're bottom half of the league in goals for. And right now, they're neck and neck for the least goals allowed. The William Jennings Award will be awarded to the team that gives up the least amount of goals. And shockingly, right now, the front runner is the Winnipeg Jets, but the LA Kings are right behind them. So they're having a great season. And the Winnipeg Jets, they control the game with their offense. They always have the puck. It's tough to score when you don't have the puck. The LA Kings, that's not the case. They give up shots. They give up chances. And Darcy Kemper's played great. He's played really, really solid. Kind of been missed in Colorado since he left. That might have settled down now that they got Mackenzie Blackwood, but he's been fantastic. So, great pick. I almost went with Cam Talbot, or I almost went with Peter Mrazek, or I almost went with Alex Lyon. But then I looked at their stats and I realized Detroit sucks. So, I couldn't go with any of those guys. But that's great, Tim. You know, five out of five. We love giving acknowledgement to the underserved, to the under-acknowledged. So go out and drop these guys a line. Send them a DM and say, I see you. And I just want to acknowledge that you are doing a good job, because the players need it. they're very sensitive. They need to be boosted up. They have a very, very small, they're emotional creatures. They need to, you know, stay high. So please go out there. Right, Tim? You're the same way.
That's right. I would love that too. Please DM me and tell me that you think I'm cool and that I did a good job on the show. And that's great. I would love that. I need
when
that.
Are you going to put the beanie on for the Patreon so people can agree with me?
I should do that. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. You got to be in the Patreon though. $5 a month. What are you waiting for? Just do it.
I know.
It's just do it.
I'm trying to work an interview this week, but I'm having the darndest of time. I'm trying to get either Marty McSorley, Johnny Taves, or someone from the San Jose Sharks. I'm angling for Tyler Toffoli. So stay tuned. And again, another reason to be in the Patreon. We drop those interviews first there, so you can hear it first. Marc-Andre Fleury one was in there days, weeks before we released it. So anything else, Tim?
Let's do some quick hits here, some rapid fire ones. Mikko Rantanen obviously has been struggling. He got hit in the face last night with a shot.
He has
4 goals in 20 games since being traded from Colorado. And it's basically, he's pointing out the fact that I think he was relying more on McKinnon than most of us realized. I know there's a lot of turbulence when you have a line juggling and life changes and all that stuff, and it's only 20 games, but four is bad.
I'm not worried. The reason they bring him in is to win a Stanley Cup. He could just lay an egg right now. As long as he shows up in the playoffs and gets them past Colorado in round one, because that's going to be a hell of a series. The so many storylines, Dallas, Colorado, coming out your yin-yang led by that guy. So it's going to be a fun series. But if he can get them by Colorado, job done. Job done. So I'm going to reserve my critique until then. Who cares? It's regular season.
Speaking of guys who haven't been good since being traded, Scott Laughton was a pickup by the Leafs from the Flyers. In 8 games played so far, he has 0 goals, 0 assists, obviously 0 points. He's a -5. He has just contributed nothing, which is too bad. Again, a guy that maybe is more of a playoff guy just because of his playing style.
He's been in the playoffs a ton with Philadelphia.
But his style, right? Like, you'd think he'd be good for the playoffs. But yeah, swing and a miss so far there. Brandon Carlo has more points than him. He's got an assist.
The Leafs just can't get out of their way. They honestly, they do everything they can. They check all the boxes for people a lot. And yeah, it's going to be great. It just sucks. As soon as you get to Toronto, your players go to die. It's bizarre. Because they, even when Dubas was there, I didn't hate any of his moves. I applauded them. Like, great job. You filled the need. And the players just go there and stink. I don't understand it. Lawton should be a no-brainer plug-in third-line center. And exactly what they need. Brings some energies, kills penalties, does the job. It just hasn't worked. They're 4-5-1 since he's been there. Like, they're a mediocre team. So I don't know. Again, we'll wait till the playoffs. I'll reserve my critique until then.
A couple more quick ones. Pat Maroon officially announced he will retire after the season. Not super surprising, but yeah, worth mentioning. Gabe Landeskog is practicing with the Avalanche, and he's like moving at full speed. He's looking really good. I saw some video this morning. He's getting closer to a return. I think we probably still don't see him. Maybe a couple games just to get his feet under him at the end of the season, depending on the health. I don't have it in front of me. Are they over?
No, there's no way. They have 800,000 cap space.
Okay. So maybe it's
I'm predicting he will not be back in the regular season.
Hey, you never know. Someone else can get hurt. Yeah. But it does seem like the stars are aligning for them. When you think about like the goalie they picked up, the moves they made at the deadline, and Landeskog, their captain, one of their best players coming back. It's just, it's looking like they're in, you know, lining up for a long run.
If you can get the gang back together, you got Landeskog, McKinnon, Nichushkin up front, and you got Nelson, Nyquist, and Drouin or Lykkinen on the second line. And you got Charlie Coyle on the third line with either Drouin or Lykkinen and a Kervanta, Ross Colton. Holy moly. That's a tough team. I would never in a million years have thought at the start of the season, if a team takes their second best player off its roster, that they will be more dangerous come playoff time. It's exactly what Colorado has done. Their defense is better. It's remarkable what they've done. So good kudos to Colorado. They've nailed this team, this rebuild of this team.
And the last one here, this was just announced this morning. You mentioned it already. Jacob Chychrun has signed an 8-year, $72 million contract. That's $9 million a year. John, immediate thoughts on this one.
I think it's overpaid. You know, he's a good defenseman. He's a great all-around player. you know what you're getting with the Jacob Chychrun. He's a solid guy. He's a physical guy, 6'2". I think he's like 210, 215. $8 million, Tim.
Nine.
That's a lot of money. This one is going to age like a Darnell Nurse contract, in my opinion. Like, if I'm paying someone $8 million.
Nine million.
Nine? Excuse me. If I'm paying someone nine, I want them to be putting up 70 points a year. This guy, he'll put up 40. I want him to do twice as much as that. That's a high value for this player. He's good. Don't get me wrong. He's very good. But I like him in the $6 to $7 million range. Nine? That's reserved for the upper echelon in the NHL. Like, I'm talking Makars, the Hugheses, the Yossis of the world. Not for a Chychrun. No. No. Overpaid.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think this is just one of the, not a side effect, but more like just this is because of the number of the salary cap that got released a couple of weeks ago. It's going up. It's going up. It's going to be $100 million in 2 years or whatever it was. Like, so I think this is, that's the difference between him and a Darnell Nurse, where Darnell Nurse did it 3-4 years ago and the salary cap was going to be $20 million less than what it's going to be when in 2 years. So I think that's the big difference. And then as, if it keeps going up, maybe this ends up looking like a bargain or at least fair value. But right now, it does seem like a high number for a guy that, like you said, doesn't put up a ton of points.
Ugh, $9 million. My goodness. Good for him, man. We cashed in. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a defenseman who only gets 40 points a year, maybe 45. Him. You got to be a 1A power play guy for $9 million. You have to bring more than the table than what he brings for nine. Well, I guess salary cap going up. Maybe I'm wrong.
And then here's the other factor is if you don't, someone else does. You know what I mean? He's on an expiring contract. He's going to be a UFA. If you don't, he's going to get that money somewhere. You have John Carlson, who's 40 years old. Like, you're going to need that guy, and you've got him. He's not 40, I know, but he's getting up there. So, yeah, I'm okay with it.
But is he your, like, is he running your one power play? I guess he is in Washington. I don't know, but I don't know. He's a great defenseman. I should not dump on him. He's a very, very, very solid defenseman. And he is running their one power play. Maybe he shouldn't be. I don't know. 40 points? I don't know. Now everyone's going to think I hate Chychrun. Oh, you hate Ovechkin and Chychrun. What's your deal with Washington? I had some good nights in Washington. We played them in the playoffs when I was at the Rangers. I say that loosely because I'd never played with the Rangers. They just traded for me at the deadline, but I got to go with them on the plane rides. It was like a make-a-wish, and I would go to Washington, go to Ottawa. Who else did we play? We played another team. We went to the conference finals. We went to this restaurant in Washington. All like the fancy celebrities of Washington went, so like the senators and all these high-end people. This is back before I figured out my life. We would go to a team meal, like a pregame meal. The meal would end like at 1 o'clock, Tim. I would stay there with Matt Zuccarello, Jeff Wojtka, Stu Bickel, and we would just drink wine until like 5:30, 6 o'clock. We would go back to the hotel, shower up, go to the rink, pissed out of our mind, and watch the game. And we did this in Washington. We did it in Ottawa. We didn't do it in Jersey because we took the bus and we had to get back on the bus. We slept in our own beds, but it was embarrassing. I would be in the press box, couldn't even see straight. At a playoff game, a part of the New York Rangers, all of us did. Who else was there? It was a great crew of players, but good city, Washington. Yeah, drain the swamp, though, as they say. I enjoyed that swamp. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. On that note, Tim, I think it's time. It's now we've been almost an hour here. People hate the long episodes. I apologize for my ramblings, but stay tuned for an interview, maybe Friday. I'm still working on it. We'll have an episode Thursday, and have a good week, everybody. Cheers.
Potential can sometimes feel daunting, scary, but today's the day you decide to act on it with a higher technical qualification. Designed with employers, It will give you the skills you need to land the job you want, because today is your day. When anything is possible, if you make it happen.
It all starts with skills. See how you can get started. Search Skills for Life.
Could all passengers for Auckland please make their way to Gate A17?
Come on, that's us.
At Nutmeg, we don't know where your once-in-a-lifetime trip will take you. But we do know how to invest for it. So wherever you dream of going, choose from a range of investment styles to suit you and your goals. Nutmeg, a JP Morgan company. Just search Nutmeg ISA to learn more. Capital at risk.